For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Rawr Barlow. Our kind of mess saying, just saying. Megan, you can't have a burger without the burg.
And also our super premium sponsors.
Our lucky little grandhopper, Kelly Grant.
And Lizzie Drucker. She's a fine mother.
We love you guys. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie Caron from the Rose Pritz Bachelor Podcast, which is back. So go listen to it because, man, there's a whole new pack of hoes to mock. And here I am with my gorgeous and talented little bestie, Ben Mandelker of the B-Side Blog and the Banter Blender. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Ronnie. How are you? I just flew in from Perth. Just kidding. I don't know why I said that.
From Perth.
I don't know why I started with some sort of Perth tomfoolery. I want people to think I'm a jet setter.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm a man of this world, flying around places like Perth.
I'm spending my first week of the new year getting as many Domino's points as I can. I had the same Domino's delivery guy yesterday as I did on New Year's Eve, and he was looking at me like, really? You're like doing the opposite of what most people do on New Year's.
I've been killing it with my New Year's resolutions. For instance, I resolved to eat healthy, and this morning I had a breakfast burrito at Farm Boy Kitchen, and it's done. The resolution's done.
Yeah, I think it's good to fail early. You know, get the disappointment over with. Just start drinking again, you know?
Exactly.
Who wants to live in a house without alcohol and pizza? Not I, sir.
No, exactly. Yeah, so, I'm off the wagon, and it feels great.
Who needs a wagon? Hey.
In 2017, who needs a wagon? How about, like, a truck?
Yeah, you know what? Don't get a wagon. Get a car or a plane so you can come see us on tour. We're going to be playing someplace new every month. It's nuts. Yeah. We're going all over the damn country this time. Boston's coming up. That's coming up at the end of January. Then we've got Chicago, New York. A lot of ones. I don't know if we've announced them all. D.C.
D.C.
Detroit. They're going to be amazing.
Houston. Houston. We still have – there's still plenty of tickets at Houston, but, like, it's definitely – and that's not until March. So there's no real rush necessarily. But we are, I think, about 3/4 sold out at Houston.
Yeah, we've got 100 something left. So get those tickets. And to get all those ticket links, just go to watchwhatcrappens.com. That's also where you can go to get merch links, t-shirts, wine glasses, pint glasses, glasses, glass. Just shards of glass with crappens.
We're gonna actually like simulate a Jewish wedding and then scoop up the broken glass and just mail it to you. And the rest is on you to handle it properly.
Yes, and that's where you can also find a link to our Patreon stuff, which all our bonuses and all our extras are all on Patreon. So go over there. Our bonus this week was talking about our week off and kind of catching up and stuff and some movie reviews. So go check that out. And I think that's it for the shills.
Well, I just want to say one thing, which is that I just put in an order for a new batch of Crappens poetry, which is like magnetic poetry, essentially. You put on your fridge, except all the poetry, all the words are pertain to our podcast or our inside jokes, etc. We've been selling them at the live shows. We don't sell them online. We just sell them only at the live shows. We are running out of the first batch. I've just put in an order. Realistically, it's probably not going to come until after the Boston show. So we're bringing what we have left to Boston. So people who are going to be going to the show on the 18th, if they buy all our magnet inventory, chances are that people on the 20th, it will not be there. So I'm saying that as a motivating factor. I'm saying that as a motivating factor to buy tickets to the 18th. I'm not saying it to cast a
Jeez,
pall.
Thanks for killing Tinkerbell right at the beginning of the show, Ben.
Hey, resolution. My New Year's resolution, keep Tinkerbell alive. Get it over with immediately. No, I'm just being realistic, okay? I'm leveling with you, okay? This is classic much, okay? I don't have relationships with people in blood, okay? So what I have for you, though, is some magnetic poetry, and hopefully there'll be some left for the 20th, but there's realistically a chance that it'll all go away on the 18th,
yeah,
okay?
Hopefully. The factories in Italy can get it out in the right price, but like, what do I know? What do I care? You know who doesn't care? Joan.
Yeah.
Joan wouldn't care. Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm just being very transparent. I'm being transparent with the audience. I don't want people to show up on the 20th and be like, oh my God, why didn't you bring the poetry to Boston? We are bringing the poetry to Boston, but I think I have a box right here. I think it has about 60 of them. So.
All right. Well, get over there. That's going to be fun. Boston, 2 degrees. Can't wait.
I know. Okay.
I bought so many coats from the Old Navy. I'm going to look like just a discount rack in general. I'm just going to wear so many layers of like cheap clothes. My goal is to show up in Boston and be like 10 layers deep and still not cost over $100. All right. So today is Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Yeah,
they're continuing the penultimate. Yeah, and they're continuing their season-long tradition of having like Casio keyboard Louis Armstrong music playing throughout the thing. So it's like, ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. Like Melissa's on a Range Rover. Who cares? Why are you playing this music?
Yeah. Also maintaining their season-long tradition of having events at this pizzeria. Like every week, it's another party at the pizzeria.
Yeah, every week Joe has to ask someone, did you believe that was a wall? Did you believe that's a brick wall? It's plastic. Crazy, right? Crazy.
So the episode opens up. They don't even do different like flashes and pops of where what different women are doing. They just opens up with Melissa at Envy with her worker, Alyssa, spelled with two L's. So it's all Alyssa. Two L's, two S's, a Y, which is feels like two letters to me.
I am all Isa, baby.
She has two of every letter except for Y. Why? See, when you ask the question, it's the second Y.
But is all Isa in? That's my question. So we start with what we all love doing, opening bills. Melissa doesn't even go to the store. She's like, hi, there's bills. Some goat cheese. So she opens her package from Italy. She's ordered one little tiny backpack.
One bag.
For
she's
herself.
She's got this big rumpled box, you know. Don't you hate that when a box comes up all rumpled? She gets this rumpled box. She's like, it's here. And it's this one little bag.
Yeah, it was like Teresa trying to figure out how to rip off this purse. She's just like punching the box.
All she got was a purse. She'd sell it for $30.
So Joe comes in and he's like, ew. Which I don't know why he said that, but I agree. I agree with Joe. And he's like, you went all the way to Milan for that? I would like to thank this show for giving me a brand new style of writing notes, because I write phonetically. I wrote, went all the way to Milan for that.
You could have possibly done that in a Creole accent, I think, based on the phonetics, or even Jamaican,
or
Irish.
You went all the way to Milan for that? Man.
You went all the way to... No, I don't even know what that is. That's just going to be my new made-up one. Yo, I went all the way to there. That's actually almost Swedish, I think.
That's Alyssa's. That's all Isis.
Alyssa. All Alyssa. She's all the Isses. The Isses.
She's like...
All the Isses say, yo, I went all the way to that. Yeah. Did you speak to my friend Dagmar?
So Melissa tells us, we got into an argument about me putting in time to this restaurant, you know? And he's like, I needed help! And then Melissa goes, going to Italy made me realize I don't love serving food. You were serving food at a strip club on the Jersey Shore, and this is what made you realize you don't love serving food?
I think it was watching Danielle Saab just terrorize an entire restaurant that made her remember why she does not like being a waitress.
It's like getting glass shards in her ear bounced off that brick wall a few weeks ago. She's like, my real passion is squeezing rich fat people into size zeros, okay?
My real passion is taking casual bike rides along a canal.
Picnic! Joe's like, but look, I got 15 different pizzas and a pasta station.
Wow, you sound like a regular CC's Pizza.
Who to be fair, it is a lot of work because his pasta station is literally a station where pasta arrives by train. It's like it comes out with a little hat and a monocle, like, we have arrived. Little pastas.
People spaghetti. Are checking under there with Coke mirrors, like under the
but
side.
But I'm too silly. Yes. There was a terrorist threat at the pasta station, so they have up security. There are a lot of barriers. Now you can't park very close to it.
Signora
Macaroni is often a target.
Bowtie terrorism.
Oh. Well, Joanne Orchietti is not one to be reckoned with.
All right, I think it's time to just say goodbye.
I'm like, in my mind, I'm like imagining all these fancy pieces of pasta emerging from a train with suitcases, and I'm like, I love their world.
I'm listening to you. I'm listening to see if I hear any typing coming from your side, seeing if you're Googling types of pasta.
No, I have them in my brain.
Oh, no, that was me. Sorry.
Fettuccine. They don't like Mrs. Fettuccine. She's a gossip. No one wants to sit next to her on the train. When she goes and she's always talking loudly in the quiet cabin.
Ravioli, so fat. Everyone's like, oh, of course he's the middle seat. Of course it's fucking ravioli.
But everyone wants to get with Penne.
Yeah, I know. Biggest hole on the thing. Biggest hole on the train is still everybody wants a piece.
Well, better than that busybody Mrs. Tortellini. She's always in the way.
Yeah.
She's always standing up.
She's always talking about law, tort law. They're like, she's so smart.
She's so on the nose. She's like, I knew I was born to be a tort lawyer. Because I'm a tortellini.
Lazy ass lasagna is like leaning back too far in her seat. But we all know who the real criminal is. If you really read a person's last name, it'll tell you a lot. Like the new Bachelor is Lion Dyke. Okay, don't listen to him. Okay, and this one is Rigatoni. Okay, that's.
Well, I'll tell you, doesn't fall for Rigatoni Tagliatelle. Ever since she gave him $1,000 to launch his quote unquote business and never got any money back, she tells everyone, she's like, oh, you don't mess with Rigatoni. Okay.
Yeah, Tagliatelle is like, I lost so much money. Let's play tag. They're like, stop running.
You know who
on
is like
train?
Really a little high and mighty, and everyone's like, ugh. Like every time she starts talking and she's like, you know, I've tried this new thing, it's really all like this yoga angel hair, it's like, shut up.
It's like she thinks she's so great, but she's really just got stringy hair, okay?
That's all she was like popular in high school and she's just like coasting off that. And so she's like always just like chattering about something stupid.
Totally.
And you're like, I just want to hang out with Wagon Wheel.
Wagon Wheel's the one who always brings their dog. It's like, oh, that's not an emotional support animal.
And then they're the Shell sisters, small, medium, and large. It's like, they just only talk with themselves.
They're like, did someone fart on this plane? No, that's just vermicelli over there.
Well, she's from a different country. She believes in different things.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to Watch What Crappens.
We just told a very evocative story about the various pasta patrons on the pasta train that arrives in Joe's pasta station.
The real vermicelli.
Vermicelli is the one who gets murdered. Carter, we don't trust her.
Oh my god, the real pasta station of New Jersey.
They all are, you know, by the way, for a typical train, there's a lot of acrimony on our pasta train. Like normally it's just people sitting reading newspapers, but here they all have issues. They're like mad at each other, like annoyed. They're all rolling into each other's eyes. Like, who was putting their seat back too far?
Hold on, I have to look at the names
not
again.
Not sharing that.
Well, the ravioli is the fat one who takes up too much time. And then, we don't need to go back. We don't need to go back, guys. Lasagna
was
lazy. Lasagna.
What about, what do you, manicotti? Do we have any thoughts on what Manicotti's doing?
Manicotti is Joe. He's like, I'm a man. You can't quit the restaurant. We's a team. We focus together. You didn't tell her you were even buying that restaurant, sir. You can't just buy a football and then tell people on the random sidewalk that they're on your team now, okay?
I didn't even realize that you had transitioned back into the show. I was thinking that on the train, Manicotti was making this complaint, and I was about to chime in with like, "And well, you should hear what ZD has." I was like, "Oh, we're actually back to the recap. Okay, all right. You'll just have to wait what to hear what ZD does."
So yeah, anyway, this relationship's over is the point.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's no, it pissed me. That actually really annoyed me that he's like, "Oh man, like it's not fair. She only wants to focus on Envy." I'm like, that was her job. That was her very well-stated pet project, and you bought a restaurant without even telling her, and now she's just expected to just drop that to help you? No, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. Yeah, welcome to equal rights, Joe, although I don't think New Jersey's really caught up to that yet in general, but this little pasta shop and this little Envy store, this is when equal rights comes to New Jersey. Equal rights told through pasta.
Well, it's a great lesson to show that whether you're a man or a woman, your business can fail equally.
Oh yeah, you could suck with a penis or without a penis.
It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. You can always have a terrible business idea. No matter if you're black or white.
So that's what Michael Jackson meant, that whole song.
Yeah, that's his song was actually really supposed to be a warning to bickering couples in New Jersey.
Yes. So next up is Maj. Hey, girls.
It's Maj.
Hi, it's me. It's me. It's Maj. It's Maj. I'm back. You won't believe this. The factory, you know, it didn't quite work out with the factory. I couldn't switch the gay guy to me. You know, we didn't get much done. We went to a factory, but the gay guy didn't leave his boyfriend for me. Siggy called me an anti-Semite. Listen, I'm not someone who holds a grudge. I see her at the pasta station. I say hi.
You know, it's just so crazy. I mean, in Italy, like, you know, like, she'd call me an anti-Semite. I'm like, what are we talking about, an anti-Semite? Like, all my friends are Jewish. I raised Jewish children. They don't talk to me anymore, but it's not because I'm an anti-Semite. It's because I'm an anti, you know, faithfulness light lady. You know, that's what – did you hear that one? That was for Joan. That was, I'm workshopping that one. It's not quite where it needs to be, but, like, give it another, like, week or so, it'll be on Fashion Police. Is that show still on? I'm not sure if it is. Anyway, I took my pigtails out because I'm so angry. Anywho, what's going on with you, British Jersey girl?
And the assistant's like, well, we got some good luggage. She's still like a Jersey girl in like a Christmas story. Not a Christmas story. What am I trying to say with Scrooge?
Christmas.
Charles Dickens. Scrooge, yeah, you know?
Christmas Carol.
Yeah, a Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
She's like, Carol? Christmas Carol? What do you say?
Just Carol.
Can I have an odd off to spend with my babies?
All right, let me tell you something about the ghost of Christmas past, present, and future. Okay, they all want to be dressed. Okay, so I got them some Macbeth collection. Okay, I call it the Christmas Macbeth collection. Okay, it's like chains with glitter on them. It's wonderful. I love it. Anyway. Yeah,
that's pretty much, she's like, guess what we're getting? Gold glitter luggage. Okay? Like, you're going to find that on the luggage carousel. Okay? So they're going to have a full end line for Walmart. And she's like, laundry hampers? Wash bags? Can I get an night off for Christmas to spend with my baby? She's like, no. Sorry. Call me Scrooge. No.
Yeah. Oh, and guess what, girls? We're still going to do the gala. We're going to do the gala. Oh, the gala. I think that's how she said it. We're going to be doing gala. Studio 54 gala. It's going to be whatever. Well, I already told Margot down the street, heat up your ovens. Because you know what? Mine still don't work. No, it's crazy.
I got Shoshana waiting on backups.
Shoshana's doing it. Jody number one, Jody number two, they're all getting their ovens ready. Because there'll be so many little hot dogs coming out of those ovens. It's like you can't even just rely on Margo.
I'm all about the dancing, girls. I'm all about the dancing. Classic March. All right, we're gonna do the Scrooge McDuck and the Classic March, all right? Sit down.
So Marge starts walking around her property, showing where she's going to set up her whole gala and everything. She's like, Joe, you got to clean this up. I mean, it's everywhere. It's like, it's ridiculous. It's like, it's too much already. It's like, if I'm going to have confetti on the floors, I can't have any of your gas canisters. Get gas canisters. What's going on here? I don't know what's going on. But I like how her building on her house on the outside looks like a civic building from 1983. Like, it reminds me of like the libraries I went to in my town.
Yes. It reminds me, my papa was like this, and everyone thought, why are there gas cans everywhere? I mean, we know you have a gas station, but why are there, like, gas cans all over the garage? It's weird. Right?
Yeah, there were a lot. It was like, is there a low-key arson operation happening here?
Yeah. Who are you planning to take out next? I think this is evidence. It's like when they shot Phaedra for the first time, and she's handing someone cash in the parking lot. Like, that can't be wise.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, that doesn't seem wise. But either way, the they are then harassed by a bunch of bumblebees or carpenter bees. Couldn't really tell. I just saw that they were hefty. And they're like, oh, the bees, the bees. And the British jersey lady goes, he thinks I'm a flower.
So Tree's getting makeup from her stylist. And the stylist is like, oh, what's this even for? A new book? I love it. What do you think it's for? There's like books everywhere. What the fuck do you think you're here for? I love that the stylists don't even ask.
Yeah. I appreciated, by the way, the guy in the oversized hat that made Pharrell's look demure. Did you notice that? The giant, like
the, he's like Yosemite Sam.
Wasn't he the same guy who was dressed as some sort of like gay soldier coming back from the Civil War?
Oh, I don't know. Since Brian Moreland came on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, I picture everyone as Brian Moreland now. Like those, every shot, like you mentioned that shot of in the book when he's wearing that. I think Brian Moreland could pull off that look. That like army guy from the 30s or whatever. So now he's like every crazily styled gay on Housewives in my mind is Brian Moreland now. And it makes me love every one of them. I'm like, he's pulling it off. Good for him. Hey, how many gallons does that hat hold, buddy? So Siggy comes in and she's like, oh!
Hello. Like, hello, photo shoot.
She's always just been shot in the side. She's like, oh! It's like No-No trying to get out of bed in the middle of the night for a glass of water.
Hello. Hello. This is my best friend, the photographer. This is my best friend, the makeup lady. This is my best friend. It's a hat. I'm a friend with a hat.
Oh, my God. Is that the camera? My best friend. So she's like, how many times do you have before the book comes out? And she's like, it depends on when series is done finishing it. And she's like, oh, you got time. It'll definitely be number one.
It'll be number one. I hear it's selling very well at the pasta station.
It's a book about tree with a tree pose and papers made with trees. It's bound to be a number one. So Teresa is like, Margaret. Breaking news. Breaking news story on Watch What Crappens.
Oh my God, I can't believe there is another breaking news thing. I mean, we already had some breaking news this week. So apparently there is a press conference going on yet again. Do we want to listen in?
Hello, everybody. Hello. It's me, Siggy Flicka. Hello, Fox. Hello, Fox and friends. Hello, Wolf.
Hello. Hello. People of America who are all tuning in, I can't believe this press conference is having 100 million of my very best friends listening to it at this moment.
You might have read last week, when it wasn't breaking news at all, that I quit the Real Housewives of New Jersey, but they edited my words. Now they're trying to pretend that the Siggy Cross never happened.
But... but I won't have it. I have no patience for the deniers. This is the truth. I, Sigala Flicka, am leaving Real Housewives of New Jersey.
I am grateful to Bravo for allowing me the opportunity. This year, the job has taken a significant toll on my health, and it caused tremendous stress on me and my family because of the hostile working environment created by Sirens Production. I cannot comprehend why Sirens Production felt the need to distort the truth to the point it is no longer true.
False narratives have no place in reality TV.
Question. Have you ever watched reality TV before? Like, seriously, what's a true narrative? Like, what, you think people want to wake up and watch you poop in the morning? That would be true. I don't want to see that. Who wants to see that? Raise your hands, Fox and Friends. See, even Fox and Friends won't raise their hands for that.
The only narrative I watch is Joshua in the morning jerking off his little teenage penis because that little teenage penis came out of my cookie, and I'm so proud of him for understanding what his penis could do. It makes me cry.
Question, okay? The question, yes. Okay?
Yes, you over there with the crazy eyes.
I love cookies, okay? And when you mention cookies right now, here's the way I do it. I order one chocolate chip, and then I order one sugar cookie, and then I order one walnut cookie. So all the guys around me see that I've got plenty of cookies, but I never eat any of them because I want to stay thin. I don't even look my age, do I?
Ramona, I think what you are doing is wonderful. And if it makes you happy, I hope you share how you feel with Avery, because she deserves to know how you feel about your cookies, just the way I tell Joshua every day that he came out of my cookie.
Okay, well, unfortunately, this news conference is coming to an end. We'll have to find out later how the rest of this ends. I mean, my God.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sure it'll be going on. Yeah, I'm sure it'll be going on. We'll check in later. Yeah, yeah, that's a really good idea. We'll come back to that.
So here's Trudy talking about Joe and whatever. And she's like, look, yes, I'm still mad at Margaret because I don't forgive easily, but life is short. Let's move forward. I would get her a cake, but you monsters would probably disrespect a baker and throw it across the room.
Is someone starting your car?
I don't know. We've had a week off, and my voices are completely out of control. She's basically Barney Rubble being put through a wood chipper very slowly. It's like, Fred!
Barney Rubble stars in Fargo. So there's like photo shoot. Tree does the tree pose. And then we go over to Dolores and her clan as they're in a car. She's in the car with the Franks. Frank in the front, Frankie in the back. They're taking Frankie on a college tour, and he wants to have an aggressive finance program. That's what he's looking for. So they go to Sacred Heart University in Fairfield, Connecticut. And Dolores is like, Matt, you know, I don't know if I'm ready for an empty nest. It's like, it's still too soon. You know, Frankie's moving out. My daughter, she's going to veterinary school. Boo's not even there anymore. Boo died a year and a half ago, and I got my new cabinets, but I missed the old cabinets. And Maz, he doesn't even call anymore. And Frank, you know, what happens when he goes to Home Depot? I'm all home alone looking at empty chairs. Chairs that don't even stand up properly because they didn't finish making them. I don't know.
What am I supposed to do? I'm going to come home to this beautiful kitchen with no pasta shells just lying all over the countertops. Like, seriously, what am I supposed to do with that, Frank?
It's sad. You know, I kind of like having them around. I mean, you know, it's going to be hard having him go to Sacred Heart because, you know, he kind of is my Sacred Heart. But you know what, though? I wish he would go to Zoo University because I've been to the zoo before and I think he would fit in well.
Frank's like, look at us. We're like the Griswolds. No, you're not. You're nothing like the Griswolds, okay? We're the Griswolds and Swingers.
Maybe. Maybe we just never saw that one. So Frankie's walking around Sacred Heart and it's hilarious because he's wearing this like ribbed shirt with a leather jacket. He basically looks like he's there to kill someone. He's gonna like put out a hit on someone there.
Pretty much. He'll probably kill his first girlfriend from protein shake farts. I mean, those are bad. Those are really bad.
I also appreciated that the college campus looked like the backyard of March's house. I was like, civic architecture.
It's like, wait a minute. There's another one of those workout machines you buy in the middle of the night on TV. You're like, just pull down the pipes. Just pull down the Bowflex. It's like as old as the Dead Sea Scrolls. So Dolores, I like how Dolores phrases it because she goes, I looked around the empty house and I felt a sense of emptiness because it was empty. Yeah.
I was looking down the hallway. It was dark. And I was like, wow, what a dark place I'm in.
This woman probably has a breakdown every time she finishes a cereal box. Like, it's so empty.
But you know what, though? That's what life's all about. You go to the store, you get yourself another cereal box. You know, that's what I did. Although I can't ever replace Boo. But, you know, Boo is Boo. You're special.
Frank's like, but now it's just going to be me and you in the house. What's that look like? Looks like you with a Swiffer. What else do you think?
Yeah,
nothing
exactly.
Else changes, Frank. Okay.
Yeah, it's exactly the same. So they're like, they're looking at dorms, and Dolores just starts to cry. There's just something about cramped quarters with stinky socks that will make a lady cry every time.
And guys in Jersey especially, because they're like, men, we're real men. He's like, this is like a hotel. Is it really? It smells like butt crack and crayon balls. How could you say, what hotels are you staying at, Frank?
There's diarrhea on the wall. On the wall.
On the wall, Frank. He's like, hey, your mom's, oh, Frankie's like, mom's gonna cry. And the tour guide's like, yeah, that's just part of the tours. The mom's crying, stand in a corner. Let's watch. Looks good, right? You want to sign up? So over at Margaret's house, Jan is over. And don't worry.
Jan Josephs.
Yeah, Jan Josephs is not one of the neighbors with a working oven. It's the ex-husband.
Yeah. Jan, you want some coffee? I got an espresso machine. He's like, oh, you talking to me? As opposed to who else, Jan? See, get that? I learned that sort of clap back from Joan. She's very good with it. You know, as opposed to who else? All right, can we talk?
Okay, well, that was a joke. I don't know. Also. You're always talking to yourself, so what am I supposed to
think? Talking to myself. What am I, Mrs. Havisham up in a castle right now? What was it, a little Dickensian humor for you, Jan? Do you ever read Dickens? You ever read that? Great Expectations? Guess what? You know who else had Great Expectations? Our kids of me. And guess what? I failed them. And you know what? I'm sorry about that, but I'm not sorry because here's some espresso.
Here's the thing. Why have a sham when you can have a bagel? That's what I always say. Look, you made your choice. It killed my kids. I'll never speak to you again. What can you do? Do you have any flavored cream cheese, or do I have to do everything myself?
Listen, you know what? I accept. I did what I take full responsibility for what I did. I get it. It's classic Marge, but it was not a very classy thing to do. It wasn't classy Marge. It was classic Marge. That's it. But you know what? They're still my kids. I raised them from when I was 24, and now I only raise classic Marge Senior, and it's just not the same, and I miss them a lot. You think they'd ever get back to me? It's like, no.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I'd be lying to say I don't give a shit. I resent what you did, but I don't hold it against you. Now, the fact that you don't got any blueberry cream cheese, for that, you've got another 10 years of silence from my children.
I kind of feel like if this guy is going to be chummy with Marge, he should basically tell his kids, listen, I know you're mad, but you got to get over it. You know, like, don't. It just seems weird that he's so passive in this situation, or what seems to be passive. I'm sorry. I think that he should. It's either like fully, you know, cut the cord or you know, just say, listen, kids, like if you're being a friend to her, if you guys are friends, right, you don't want to see your friend crying in agony because the kids won't talk to her. So it's like, just say, listen, kids.
Yeah, but the kids are going through their own shit. It's like this woman comes in. She's like, your first mother left you. Now it's me taking care of you. I'm like, Joan, now you have a new mother and a new sister named Melissa. Okay? We're both going to have funny faces, but they're going to make you laugh every morning. And now we're leaving too. And we're never coming back. So it's like their own thing that they have to deal with, you know? And he's just like, I just want somebody to eat bagels with. And she goes, well, when you see the kids, listen, Jan, when you see the kids, just tell them I'm designing great shoes for their budget, okay? My whole goal in life is to see them in decent shoes. Could you tell them that, Jan? He's like, no, I forgot already.
The only reason why I'm even doing this entire classic match dress line is because I just want to get into Ross. I want them to see my face. I just want them to see me in some certain way. There's a weird way where I kind of feel like this shoe that I'm making from Italy, I sort of feel like the shoe's going to talk to them. And that's all. I just want to talk to them through my shoe. That's it.
I just want the out-damn spot. Could you tell him that, Jan? Could you just tell him out-damn spot? Could you tell him that's how I feel, Joe? I mean, that's how I feel, Jan.
But, you know, I mean, I have a question. So, you know, Marge was like, listen, I get it. You know, they went through a lot. You know, the first mom didn't want to live with them. And then I did what I did. You know, they have like their dad, with the two women who divorced their dad. I get it. I'm like, I feel like maybe we should be examining what's the situation with Jan, you know?
Well,
this is now two in a row for him.
Yeah. I don't know. But I, you know, usually the husbands get dragged into this show one way or another. And since he's showing up to a film, we'll probably find out year by year what the real story is there. Because she's like, when we were together, we were the Bickersons. You know, we're better in small doses. Do you want espresso? Do you want a bagel? Do you want cream cheese? What's with the kids? I feel like he's probably a little older and he's just like, ugh! And, you know, a construction worker is more exciting. A contractor is more exciting, you know?
Yeah, than whatever Jan does.
What do I know about marriages? I don't have one.
Okay. Yeah, what do we know about Jan?
What do we know about Jan's? Okay, she's the middle sister. No one believes anything she said. No one believed that she had a boyfriend, you know? Okay, Jan. Yeah. Okay, Jan.
Do you think his full name is Janet? Because that would be amazing.
Damn it, Janet. I love you.
My ex-husband's name is Janet, which is crazy because that's the woman's name, but he's a man, and that's like just classic match, right? And they had to marry someone who has a lady name, but she's really a man. I mean, like, I told Joan that, she just like cracked up. She's laughed for hours and hours. She's like, Gethin, you're hilarious. You're hilarious. Everything I say is hilarious because I just want to impress Joan. So I'm like, if I marry someone named Jan, so it sounds like Joan, and so that way it's like a Jan Joan situation. Then that, what does that make me? Joan also. I'm like, basically, like, I'm Joan.
I'm Joan of Park. Okay. I've always loved going to the park. You know, that's what God speaks to me. So Dolores and Frank are on a dog walk, and she's like, oh my God, Frank, do not let the dog walk like that in the street. She's hurt. She's hurt. You know, don't drag her. Go slow. She's
like,
hurt.
Relax. He's like, relax. 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 Relax, Dolores. Relax. Come on now, Dolores.
She's like, look, that house is for sale. So you could buy that house so we could live on the same street. You already live on the same street. You live in the same house.
Oh, I why do I get the feeling that I'm about to get an eviction notice on my door up there?
So she's like, you know, Frank, you know, it's like I always say, he fixes everything. He helps with the dog because he's good company. He's kind of nice. Okay, we know you're fucking Frank. We know you're fucking Frank at this point. Okay?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I always say my divorce saved my marriage. Get it? No. You ever been to the zoo? Huh? No.
You haven't been to this part of the zoo? All right, we marry people by divorcing them.
So basically when we got divorced, he gave me his all year pass to the zoo. So I could go there all the time, and I was so happy. It kind of saved our marriage.
He couldn't handle colic or the monkey cage.
He loves a lion, though.
Lying down. Right, Frank? Am I right?
He gets very alarmed by the pygmy marmosets, though. You got to keep him away from there.
So Teresa calls Melissa while she's on her way to Danielle's house, and she's like,
I'm going to Danielle's. Remember?
Wait, and by the way, this is after her kids call, like, since Gia's like, Mom, I'm trying to find the invitation. And the address, and Melania's like, I can't find my folder.
And doesn't she just hang up on them?
I think, like, Melania beep, hung beep, up on
she's
Tree.
She's like, whoops, sorry. Oh.
So anyway, yeah. So then
I
Melissa,
only want so one that, child. I only want to be responsible for one child crying right now, okay? Yeah.
So she's so, yeah, on her so way to Danielle. She's like, remember at the retreats? She says she's harboring a moon. I want to free the moon. And Melissa's like, she said she was harboring a wound.
Wow. Who harbors wounds? Do they do terrorist stuff?
So stupid. So Tree winds up, she goes to Danielle's house, you know, my friend John made a comment online that I feel like was a very sharp comment, which was, why does Danielle have a half painted crate on its standing on its end full of Perrier bottles?
Oh, was that her? I thought that was in the was that the Teresa scene at her house?
Yeah, that's the next scene, isn't it?
Oh, I thought it was when she was getting her makeup done or something, because someone else said there's in the last scene it was a crate full of wine bottles or something. When Joe was at home, it was a crate.
Is this
wine
like a Jersey thing to take crates, put them on their side, and stuff bottles in them?
Girl, it's a Jersey. It's a Real Housewives thing to go to Ross Dress for Less and figure out how to use anything from the home section as whatever you can in your home, because that's totally one of those like whitewashed wood crates. You can keep letters in here or blankets. I don't know. It's up to you, Dress for Less shoppers. Just please don't throw it on the floor, okay? If you're not gonna buy it, put it back on the shelf.
I think you might be right, because I saw a display like that at IKEA recently, and I was like, this could be cute. And now I'm like, I'm so glad I didn't do that.
Also, it's just like lukewarm Perrier, you know? So she's like,
glad
oh,
we got
God.
To the bottom of that.
Yeah. She's like, Melissa's like, just take accountability for what you did. It's going to be good for both of you. Good luck. I'll be over here if you need me, not waiting on any tables, okay?
Yeah.
So she gets to Danielle's house, and she's like, ugh, Maron. And she's got Jean's camel toe.
Yeah.
So there you
she's
go.
She's basically
have fun
like,
with it. Have fun
I
with
can't
it.
Believe I gotta talk to these stupid little girls. Is okay, fine, I gotta do it. Rehabbing Tree for the Tree Pose book. Okay, let's do it. Let's do it, Elvis, now. So, Danielle's like, now, Tree, okay, so Christine isn't willing to talk about it yet. She's been through a lot. But Jillian will listen. But just when she wants to talk, you got to let her talk. She got to, can't dismiss it. We stopped. Don't like to be, don't dismiss me. And she just starts already just like ransacking her kitchen.
Yeah. Do yourself a favor. Don't call her garbage. Don't mention garbage. Don't ask her where we keep the garbage. If you have something to throw away, keep it in front of you until the conversation is over. Okay.
And then Danielle says in her interview, she goes, can the universe erase prostitution whore from memory cells? I'm like, I feel like Socrates asked that once.
Can they erase pictures from TMZ of you working at Scores right after that, bitch? Please.
Well, that was the act of her. That was the manifestation of her trauma, clearly.
No, yes. It was all traumatic, which is why she went on a racist rant and fucked somebody in a bathroom next week. Okay, the kid is beautiful, Jillian. She looks like that actress who's always playing a basket case.
Oh,
I was going to say from Harry Potter. Let me put it here.
I think that she looks like What's-Her-Face, who was on House and then Once Upon a Time.
Oh, Jennifer, yeah, something. She does look kind of like her. Yeah, that girl that with the short haircut.
Oh, she had a long haircut on House, but maybe it's short now for Once Upon a Time. Because I don't actually watch Once Upon a Time. I just know that she was on it. Or is. I don't know if she's still on it or not.
Do you know how many people have been on it? Do you know how many people have been in Harry Potter? Like a million people, okay?
Yeah, when you said, like, that girl in Harry Potter, I'm like, I don't know. Was there someone named Gwendolyn on there?
And she talked like this. She has a little voice like this.
I know people are going crazy in their car right now. And I'm so sorry.
I feel like the actress that I'm thinking of, I feel like her name is Jennifer Morrison.
Yeah.
I'm going to look it up right now.
Pardon me.
I'm so glad people tuned in for this,
us Google shit. It's not Helena Bonham Carter that I'm thinking
Jennifer
of.
Jennifer Morrison. I was right. Are you thinking about Vera? She was in Vera something or another?
She was the... Oh, God. Who cares? Drop it, everybody.
No, now
I'm
I
so want to
look it up. Vera... I don't remember what the... I don't remember what the movie was called. Sorry.
Just
okay,
Vera?
Well,
wasn't there a movie
called
Vera?
No, there was like a British lady. Are you talking about that little British lady in Harry Potter who's sort of like middle-aged?
Yeah,
well,
she's got
like older.
No, she's got like big old jawbones like this girl, like Jillian. And she's
big
got
old
little freckles.
Maggie.
Oh my God, we're making people fucking crazy right
is
now,
it Maggie,
and I know
is it. Is it Maggie? What's her face?
It's the one. She
I can't
was
remember
the little.
Maggie's
she
name.
Was the. I don't want to. Well, she was the ghost in the bathroom.
Maggie Smith?
No, Maggie Smith was like Gonagall or something. Harry Potter.
I don't know.
Girl in bathroom. I'm going to write.
You know what I do love? Because Maggie Smith is always playing people from like 1800 something or another. And I love looking at the modern photos of her. And she's got her sort of like sassy copper toned hair going. And I'm like, I like Maggie Smith just being like, oh, I'm sassy on the weekends. I like it.
Kelly like McDonald. It. Let me see if this is her.
Oh, Kelly McDonald.
No, she doesn't look like her. Come on,
Kelly
people.
McDonald's in
Shirley Henderson.
Not like
let me see, Shelley Henderson. That's
it's
her.
Definitely not Kelly McDonald. She was in No Country for Old Men, amongst many other things.
Shirley Henderson, just give me the pictures, goddamn. Yes, Shirley Henderson. Shirley Henderson, look her up. This is who she looks like to me. Shirley Henderson, everybody, we did it.
Shirley...
It only took us 10 minutes.
Wait, Shirley Henderson.
Yes,
and I'm looking. Okay, hold on.
Image search. She looks just like her to me. I mean, these are some busted images on image search. But
Shirley
anyway,
Henderson.
So glad I got that out.
Moaning Myrtle.
Moaning Myrtle. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's...
She
okay,
talks
well, we,
like
that's...
this. Like, oh.
So, the main question that Moaning Myrtle wants to know is...
Can the universe erase prostitution whore from memory cells?
That was, I believe, a Danielle Staub question. That was her existential question. either way, so Tree was like... So, when I was in... jail, which I was like, hey, look, at least she's calling it jail now and not campses.
I know, but she's probably talking about actual camp. Like,
yeah,
Teresa's called... just got words so messed up now. She's like,
when I was at camps, I glued macaronis to a paper in the shape of a heart. I just want to say sorry for whatever my album macaroni did, whatever trouble they caused it did, okay? You want to ask me anything? Ask about my new book. Ask about my new... It's Tree. Do you get it? Because the tree pose.
Yeah, so Teresa's like, I never knew all these years later that it was gonna be something that was gonna be bothering users and make it hard for users to live and stuff. And I never want. I mean, I have girls. I got a girl who's 7, and my oldest is not 7, and I don't want that. I mean, you don't. It breaks my heart to be like, you know, it's hurt. And Danielle's just sitting there, and so then Jillian starts talking, and she's like, yeah. I was bullied. I was called things which I choose not to say. It was a really tough time for me in New Jersey growing up, and it was hard, and I was made fun of all the time. And Danielle's just sitting there drinking the tea, just relishing this, like watching Teresa squirm, like, finally, you must face it.
Yes, and Teresa's over there with her Maya Angelou. She's like, and then I didn't want to, hot wrapped up in paper. What are you talking about? Okay, and Moaning Myrtle's like,
well, I accept it. It was years ago, but the table flip cascaded into different things.
It's like, the table flip cascaded into different things. Look, your mother was a stripper. She put herself on a fucking reality show and acted like a jackass, okay? And then she got in a big fight, which is what happens to everybody on a reality show. I do not feel sorry for you people, okay? If you should be mad at anybody, be mad at your mother like the rest of us.
Pay attention, please. I love Danielle Staub though. And she's Teresa... I've always had a very special place in my heart for Danielle Staub. Like, she can be crazy as hell, but man,
she's back.
Oh yeah, this season is. I think this season has been amazing, and you know, I don't think it's an accident that Danielle Staub is back, and it's amazing.
Oh, no. She goes right up to everybody. She's like, here's what that girl said, and here's what that girl said, and this is what that girl said. It's probably not an exact quote.
You think you want to talk to that girl now? You think maybe you want to talk to that? I think you should. I think you should. No? Okay, I'll throw a glass then.
I mean, look, we're here at work. What, are we going to not throw something? A cry? A yell at somebody? All right, I'll throw a glass. She's like, I'm throwing the entire pasta station, okay? It's a penultimate. It's a penultimate. The daughter's like, Mom, I was bullied by pastor after that season. Okay, so Teresa's like, you know, I'm truly sorry. I take responsibilities. I did it. It was me who done it. Joe probably made me, but the fact is I signed the papers even though I thought it was just a birthday card to you. And she's like, I accept. It was years ago. Now I'm free. Free to fly out of this bathroom. And Teresa's like, thanks for your time. Buy my book.
So,
oh my God. Here we are.
Wow. We're back to the press conference. Okay. Siggy is still explaining her departure from Real Housewives of New Jersey. So let's tune in.
To quote from one of my favorite musicals, at the end of the day, you get nothing for nothing. I can no longer risk my health or my family. I count my blessing, and I'm grateful for all I have in life and wish to be far removed from the hostile work environment that Sirens Production created and manipulated.
I've got a question over here. I've got a question.
All right,
let's talk about this.
A question from the torturer!
All right. You know, it's just out of control now, Siggy. I mean, it's like we've had to listen to this entire press conference. Not once have you said how hilarious I am. I mean, you have to admit at this point, okay, at this point in the season, I'm hilarious, right? I mean, you can't just like leave the show and not say how hilarious I am. I mean, like, honestly, like Joan, she would say all the time, like, I'm just hilarious. And you haven't said once how hilarious I am. So could you like, please tell me, am I hilarious?
Well, once I told you you were hilarious, and it was cut out of the season. It was evident throughout the season and confirmed at the reunion when you, Margaret, blurted out on camera that Sirens told her I sucked and you were to continue targeting me.
All right. Yeah, you know what? This is ridiculous. You know, I can't. Oh, okay, so I said that you sucked, but it's just like funny. I was just, you know, it's just who I am. I'm just like so caustic, and that's what it's classic Marge. And you know what? I'm sorry that like you felt that way. You know, I never wanted to intentionally hurt you. You know, that's not how I am. I'm a girl's girl, and you're not, you know, like you're just sensitive, and I just have to understand your boundaries. But you know, when I do these things, you have to say something. You just can't just quit a show. It's not how you do it. It's like it's very difficult for me to have figured out. I mean, I'm just trying to be hilarious. hilarious because that's what I am. I mean, hilarious. I mean, who else are you talking to here? I mean, I don't see anyone else here who's very hilarious. I mean, look over there, Diane Sawyer. She's very serious. I'm very hilarious. I mean, Diane, I mean, like, why are you even here, Diane? Like, what, 60 minutes? Remember when you were on 60 minutes? How about 60 seconds and you get out of here so more funny people can get in here? Am I right, Classic Joan?
Well, producers immediately stopped filming Remember Margaret so they could talk to you and do damage control by telling you to go back and retract your statement and apologize for what you said. And when filming resumed, Margaret withdrew your statements about production. It was sickening and enlightening.
You know, I'm sorry. I have to interrupt this press conference once again. Like, I don't even know what these things she's talking about are. Like, I'm not an anti-Semite, all right? That's career ending. That's relationship ending. That's, you know, Marge Cena ending. That's confetti on the floor ending. Like, Margot, if Margot ever thought I was truly an anti-Semite, do you think I'd be able to use her oven ever again? And don't even come to me about being anti-Semitic just because I say oven, okay? Like, I'm sorry. I'm allowed to say ovens, all right? You know, like, these words that come up, I'm just trying to make a persuasive argument here. And, like, it's ridiculous. But, you know, but, like, you're a sensitive person. And, I never want to hurt you, Siggy, okay? But that's just, I guess, who I am. Classic Marge.
Well, the point is I quit.
Well, fine.
The end. I like that there's one. I like that there's one camera. It's like cheek.
The cameras are back.
Siggy's just standing there doing this.
I formally quit Real Housewives of New Jersey. I am no longer Siggy the Sea Monster. I am now Siggy the See Ya Later Monster.
See ya later, suckers.
Sorry, Siggy.
So that whole thing was so good because Bravo did release her letter and they cut out all that stuff about her saying whatever she said that happens at the reunion, which, you know, of course they did. And she's like,
how dare you? I'm going to All About the Tea where the real news is printed.
You know, I am mad at Siggy because I really enjoy her. I think she's hilarious. I think she's an original and I wish she weren't so much in her own head about this all. I think she's been great for the show, and I think she would have been great for future seasons. And now that she's done this, she's sort of like, I think, really sealed the deal that she probably will not be coming back. She, you know, Bravo is very territorial about how, like, you know, how they manage information and their talent or whatever. And she's obviously circumventing them, whatever. And I'm like, Siggy, don't do this. I know a lot of our listeners hate Siggy now, and I get that, and that's fine. But, like, I love Siggy, and it's not fair.
Well, I definitely love watching her, but she's full of shit to say that they re-edited it to make her look bad. Siggy, we just saw you make up with Margaret, and now you're going to show up at a pizza party of all places and just diss her and her mother. Like, you're the asshole. No one is making you look like an asshole except you. Stop acting like an asshole, okay? And now you're leaving after a whole season of acting like a completely melted down nutbag. And who's going to listen to you ever again? You at least need to come back for another season, get on whatever medication you need to take, rehab yourself, and then quit. Don't quit when everybody hates you, dumb.
Yeah, that's not when you quit. You have to do another season where you are like, you try to like rehab your image, and if it doesn't work, then you quit, you know. But you can't just, you don't want to leave now while the audience is turned against you. That's the worst time to do it. But
especially,
you know what?
When you're getting the lesson this season of how difficult it is to come back. Look how much Danielle has worked. I mean, she has worked her ass off to get back on this show. She's been sending secret Facebook messages. She got Melissa and Joe on this show just to go after Teresa for her. I mean, this bitch has put in the effort, and it
She's
still took
a long
this
game.
Much time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Siggy, we hope you somehow can fix this, but I'm afraid it's curtains for Siggy for real. But guess what? The curtain is being lifted at Gorga's Pizzeria.
Yeah, it turns out the guy behind the curtain was just a midget the whole time, and it's Joe.
Yeah, and so he's there. It's like opening party, and he's still hurt that Melissa didn't help him out to put the pasta in the chafers.
Joe's like, I can't believe Teresa and Melissa are late. I never owned a restaurant before. We know, Joe.
Yeah.
And so is everybody who's about to eat here. Okay.
Yeah.
He's like, I made a cheeseburger and a pizza.
He made a cheeseburger pizza, which gives me terrible memories to there was a season of The Apprentice where the teams had to promote some godforsaken 7-Eleven idea called the pizza, where it was a sandwich made of pizza, where it was like the it was a slice of pizza and then a salad on top of the pizza and then another slice on top, but the other slice was oriented properly, so it was like pizza is like a slice of pizza with a salad under it with another slice of pizza, and you're supposed to eat the whole thing together. And I'm like, first of all, 7-Eleven doesn't even have credibility in the pizza world.
No.
So why are you trying to make a weird, or the salad world? So why are you trying to make a weird pizza salad sandwich and calling it the pizza? It was P'EAT'SA, something like that. It was like the worst thing in the world. Pizza. But I'm like, oh, now I see who would be interested in that. Joe Gorga with his cheeseburger pizza. And I've heard of cheeseburger pizzas before, but this one looked like it looked all wrong.
It didn't even look like a cheeseburger. I'm like, who puts red onions on cheeseburgers? Nobody.
That's a common thing. Red onions on burgers.
No, I always have white. Now I would love a red. I love a red onion.
Red onions are very common on cheese on like a restaurant cheeseburger. Very common, Ronnie.
Well, Ben, guess where they're not common? Whataburger and Wendy's, which is
well. That's why I said a rest. That's why I said restaurant burger, not a fast food burger.
Well, I'm glad we found out who Moaning Myrtle was.
All we need to know is looking at this pizza, the hamburger helper glove is clearly wearing like a black band around one of his fingers. It's like, I am in mourning over my fellow burger comrades.
Wimpy the hamburger guy is like in the back cutting his thighs. He's like, ooh, what they do with like, my burger?
He's like, maybe it's time for a change in diet after all.
Maybe it's time to start paying for my burgers today. So
yeah, I'm just realizing that there's a thin line between Wimpy and Reza.
Everybody else I imitate.
That's so Persian.
I
would gladly give you a dollar tomorrow for a burger today.
Which is so Persian. White people pay in cash.
Bitches be like, okay, I'll give you the burger today. And Persians be like, hey, sucker, I just got a free burger.
And Asa's eating his burger. So Joe's like, Melissa doesn't realize when she was all high and mighty. That hurt my feelings. Put it into your work, Joe. I can't wait to eat the sad Joe burger pizza.
So meanwhile, Marge and Marge Sr. are getting ready to go for this pizza opening. And you know, Marge Sr. is like, so you like this? It's what do you think about this? She has like a full ball gown ready to go. She's like, sparkles? Okay, you know what, Mom? No. You look like an aging strip, okay? And not even like the classy kind, okay? You just look like – you literally look like an aging strip of tape, okay? It's not even a lady stripper. It's just like a piece of paper that's dripping. Strip paint. That's what you look like. What other strip jokes can I come up with, Joan? Ghost of Joan, tell me another strip joke. Anyone?
Well, if I got to go off on Ziggy, I got to look hot. She's like, I don't think you're going to have to do that, Mom, because she texted me. She said she'd love the invite. She sent me little dancing girls, an eggplant, and a fire in the air. I don't know what that means, but I think it's going to be okay. Look, I'm the one who's got to get over everything. Truth, you know, I want to go there and act like nothing happened. That's what it's all about, the Gorga. It's all about the Gorga. Did you hear that she bought a tiny backpack, Ma? I mean, a tiny backpack. I'm so proud of her.
They used a whole big box for a tiny little backpack. Listen, Mom, you know what? If you start up with Siggy, I'm dead serious. I'm going to kick you in the cankles, okay? You know, Mom, don't do it.
Yeah, she's like, don't have cocktails, Ma. Please, don't have any cocktails. Just one. No, Ma, you'll get diarrhea of the mouth. Don't do it.
Two, okay, one and two.
Ma, kick you in the cankles.
Honestly, I'll kick Marjorie in the cankles. Those are big cankles. I could do it. It's like kicking a beanbag. So Siggy is now with her dad, and he's like sitting on a something. He's just like sitting in the backyard. He's like, Father, I have brought you salad. So she goes and she tells him, she tells him all about Marge and the whole situation. She's like, she called me Soggy Flicker. And he's like, well, you know, there are people like that.
I know. Yeah, he's like, well, I just got back from teaching my Holocaust and History of Israel class. And she's like, my father is not only a Holocaust professor, he is a survivor. I'm like, okay, so you get double the Holocaust cred than everybody else. We get it, Siggy.
He also created a comic strip called The Holocats. It's not very popular because it offends me, his daughter.
She's like, we did a fashion show to raise money for boys who died in a fire. And then Kim D was there and no one likes her. Like, she's literally Hitler. He's like, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. And then she said, I'm literally like Hitler. He's like, just stay away from her. No, he goes, what did she mean by that? She's like, Dad, we're talking about fashion. Let me get to the point. He's like, can you just stay away from her? How about that? How about you just stay away from her? She's like, Daddy, I don't understand her.
I don't understand her. He's like, so let me get this straight. I need to know, because I am the actual Holocaust survivor here. You hear the word Hitler and you call her anti-Semitic right away and you undermine everything that we fight for? Yes, Dad, yes.
She has succeeded in turning you upside down. And she's like, I admit it. My behavior has been wrong. I'm upside down. Now I shall be right side up and not ever speak to her in public and disregard her mother and her feelings. I was like, wait a minute. I don't think that this is any of the advice your father just gave you, okay?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, be polite, speak to her, and just keep her at an arm's length. All right, upside down, don't talk to her. Did you ever hear this, Diana Ross? She's making fun of me! Upside down, you turn me. What is that? Is that a Margaret Joseph song? So rude.
That wins the dumbest laugh of the whole.
There were a lot of dumb laughs this episode. I can't believe that beat out the extended discussion about the pasta station.
I'm loopy at this point.
It is okay. Kind of funny to think that Siggy would think that Diana Ross was tormenting her with her song.
She's trying to turn me upside down,
especially at the disco party when that song actually comes on. She's going to be like, see, she's coming for me.
And let me tell you something else. This Lionel Richie dancing on the ceiling, I know what that's all about.
Who would throw confetti on the floor? Have you no respect for confetti makers?
You know what? I'm going to stay home and watch some TV. Let's see. Stranger Things. The kids are going to upside down.
The restaurant opening, basically yes. Everyone gets there. Let's cut. What's the meat of this? I've wrote down so much and I know that we pizza. Don't.
Cheeseburger pizza is literally the meat of it. Melissa shows up late and they're like, so why you show up late? You don't want to be part of the business. And she's like, I didn't say I didn't want to be part of the business. I said, I didn't want to boss him around. Like, envy's my thing and this is his thing. And I don't want to be part of the business. That's all. You just said it. She's like, listen, you got to take it seriously. And then Melissa goes, hey, don't tell me what to take seriously. She just says seriously. She's like, never mind. I'm just going to
forward. You're just beating the shit out of English at this point, Gorgas. Yeah. Okay. How about you just stop trying to poison people and stop trying to poison English? Okay. How about that? And then Teresa, who only got there 5 seconds before, is like,
oh, look, he's late. Oh, she's getting a glass of wine. Look at that, a glass of wine.
And then, of course, Teresa has to make everything about herself. So she's like,
well, as a married person, I understand what it's like. You gotta be honest with your husband about everything so you're not signing papers and then getting thrown into camps for no reason when it's not your fault.
It's like everything is about how she's about to divorce Joe. Like, no one is shocked, Teresa, okay?
Exactly. So then everyone shows up. Siggy shows up, and she's like, this is my best friend, Joanne. And here's my best friend, Maria. And here's my best friend, Gloria. Like, how many best friends does she have?
When Danielle comes in, Melissa's like, look what the cat dragged in, which, I know that's a cute saying, but not for Danielle.
Yeah.
You know?
Because she had literally been dragged by a cat before.
I mean, that I is was one dragged pussy by that's a been I was dragged, dra- you know?
I've been dragged from Bergen County all the way down to Red Bank.
Look what the cat dragged in. Apologize to my daughters. So Dolores DeSenior.
You know they have cat allergies.
I love that Dolores meets Marge Sr. and she's like, this is your mom? Well, that explains everything.
I take it you guys don't go to the Hallmark store together. So my mom and I do. Then they're like, where's Michael Campanella? And so he's like, he's at the dealership. Wait, this guy's a car salesman? Is that the deal?
So, yeah, I guess so. So Siggy is like, just basically still going around going, hi, to everybody but Danielle. I mean, to everybody but Margaret. And she's like, if I didn't know any better, I'd say she's avoiding me, you know? Which I understand because I'm an insult comic, you know? And that's what people do. Like, fashion police couldn't take it. Donald Trump could understand it. But, like, who even talks about him anymore? You know what I mean?
I mean, here I am just trying to be hilarious at this party. And, like, I feel like I've got the whole audience here. And she's, like, doesn't get my jokes. She doesn't get my humor. Like, I don't understand why she's even here. I mean, she might as well just go home and, like, just put on her complimentary Macbeth collection slippers and just enjoy a book there. Because this is honestly, this is my territory now. Okay, I'm making the jokes now. It's classic Marge, and I'm here to stay. And I want some cheeseburger pizza. Hold the cheeseburger. Hilarious Joan. Classic Marge.
Dolores. I met Marge's mother. She's cute. And Siggy's like, that's nice. I'm hungry. And Dolores says, well, I'm not going to lie. It's rude. You know, you're respectful of your friend's parents. But that's me. That's me. It's just me, Dolores, you know, living in a house with a husband, got a boyfriend on the side. Still love having the husband there. I mean, it's comforting. Like, he's my best friend. We raised that kid together. What are you going to do? You know, I mean, he's Swiffers. He's Swiffers.
Yeah, I got new cabinets. Anyway.
So then we get a toast, and Joe's like, pictures! We got more pictures with Teresa in them and not just Melissa. And everyone's like, yay! And Marge is like, now it's for sure. She's ignoring me. She's officially ignoring me right now.
Yeah.
So Danielle, of course, is going to try and make this work.
Yeah, because Marge Sr. wants to meet this famous Siggy. So she's like, you know what? I'm going to bring her over here. Okay, you deserve to meet her. So Danielle goes over to Siggy, and she starts immediately stroking Siggy's hair. She's like, can you just come over here for a minute and meet Margaret's mom? Can you just come over? And Siggy's like, no, I can't. I'm hormonal. I need to go outside. I need to come back inside. Go back outside again. Then come back inside. Make some noise. Point at someone. Flap. Then go back outside.
Part of it's just the calming piece that hearing ding, ding, ding goes off every time I come in and then go out. Come in, ding, go out, ding. Come in, ding, go out, ding. When we get to 20 dings and the mother is still here, I'll consider it.
But for right now, I just want to be treated like a new customer.
So Siggy tells us, I'm not going to go across the room to meet someone's mom when I don't even get along with the daughter. I'm not going to get ambushed. Once again, the Sig is not stupid.
You're officially stupid and you're being an asshole, okay?
Yeah,
because no exactly. One ambushed you ever. Ever.
Yeah,
lady.
No one's going to ambush you. And if they do start to ambush you, just leave.
Margaret, if you're listening to this, if you don't sue that bitch for selling hashtag soggy flicker, I'm going to be mad. Sue her. At this point, the gloves are off because Marge is like, you know what? I'm a better person than this. I don't need this. If she doesn't want to say hi, fine. You know what? I got a cheeseburger pizza. That's what I came here for. That's what I'm leaving with. You know, I'm going to take the high road. And her mom's like, you've taken the high road so many times. You got Cheech and Chong in your backseat. Don't take the high road. Kick her ass, honey.
Yeah. It's like bad manners. Like, I don't understand. What is this? Like, you go to a party, you don't say hi to someone. That's supposed to be like normal. That's like a normal thing to do for Siggy Flicker or better known as Soggy Flicker. I don't think so. I think it's bad manners. And my mom's here. She got all dressed up. She's wearing her Jimmy Choo's, trying to look hot so she could talk to you like a normal person could. And I'm going to talk to her. I'm sorry. It's bad manners. Cheeseburger pizza, please. I'm late for my pasta train.
And then next week is the Disco Inferno. You know what I want? I want a graveyard of disco balls. That sounds really fun. I want my 50th birthday to look like a graveyard, okay? But a graveyard of disco balls.
Well, look at Marge. I mean, she basically is she's a new cast member. She's the central feud of the season, and she's getting the finale party. So, hey, looks like someone has arrived.
Yeah. Everybody, that's it for us today.
We are not arriving. We are departing.
We're going to go relax. We bought
round trip tickets on the pasta train, and our departure time is in 3 minutes, so...
I know. I wonder how many people want pasta right now, because I know I do.
Oh, yeah.
I know I do. Everybody, we sure love you. Thanks so much for being a part of this. Go to watchwhatcrappens.com for ticket links, merch, Patreon links, all of that good stuff, and we will talk to you later. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Welcome to Bose Recommends. This is the place to discover your new favorite podcast. Every week, we listen to hundreds of shows to bring you our favorites. And this is one we think you're going to love.
Hello, I'm Alex, part of the team behind the Red Box Politics podcast from The Times. We're honored to have been chosen for Bose Recommends. Now, the podcast is hosted by Matt Chorley, who wanted to be here, but he's busy saying witty things on television.
What Theresa May ate at a dinner with Michel Barnier where nothing happened is not, it's been treated as if it's as big as that.
Every week, Redbox brings you the insider's guide to British politics, including contributions from Matthew Paris, Rachel Sylvester, Danny Finkelstein, David Aronovich, and Philip Collins, amongst others. Plus politicians, comedians, and spin doctors. Together they ponder, how much longer can Theresa May continue? Just how boring is Brexit? And will we get to the end of this advert without Donald Trump declaring nuclear war? In recent weeks, the podcast has heard from Tony Blair on the moment he came to power.
Were you frightened?
I was somewhat overawed, yeah.
Found out whether Donald Trump is beyond satire from Rory Bremner.
And, you know, where do you go with a character who's beyond parody?
And heard what happens when political photo shoots go wrong.
He stopped at an underwear store. One of us did kick him rather hard in the shins. Move, we said move.
The Red Box Politics podcast with Matt Chorley lands every Tuesday. You can listen and subscribe on Acast, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app.
That was this week's Bose Recommends, the place to discover your new favorite show. If you want to find out how you can enjoy podcasts and even better sound quality, visit bose.co.uk. Bose, get closer.